Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, I'm your host, Janice Tunnell, for today, May 18th. Welcome to Beauty Talk. We have an exciting show planned tonight. First, I just want to remind everyone that the call-in number for tonight is 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. So if you have a question or comment, please dial that number and we'll get your questions answered. Also, you can join us on our tweet chat by using hashtag Beauty Lounge. That's for our tweet chat on Twitter. To follow the conversation that way as well. We're going to do beauty news tonight at the end so that we can get our guests on and off in an appropriate time. So we're going to save that to the end. So Denise will have that at the end of the show. But welcome to the show, Sean Richards.
Hi, guys.
Hi, how are you?
I am marvelous because it's gorgeous in California. We've got blue skies. I've been all day gardening, actually taking a day off, and that is heaven on earth right now.
It sounds like it.
It is. Like, I mean, what's not to love? Seriously, it's all free, and it's all fantastic.
How many days do you get like that?
Well, in California, we get sunshine all the time. That's why the Brits love it, guys. You've got to understand, you know, we have to exist in sort of this dismal, dreary, grey, rainy, drizzly environment for about 80% of the year in Great Britain. And then when we get sunshine, it's absolutely glorious. And it's why it's so green and beautiful there. But all the Brits that come to California and move to LA, they all say the same thing. It's like, oh, my God, just to be able to sit outside and drink a cup of coffee. Oh, and there's a hummingbird. And, oh, there's blue skies. And, oh, it's blue again the next day and the next day and the next day. It's just a gift.
Right. An awesome gift.
It really is. It really, really is.
Well, let's start the show off by you just introducing yourself to our listening audience and just sharing with us a little bit about how you started as a makeup artist, where you're from, and that kind of thing.
Okay. Well, hello, everyone. I am Sean. I'm Sean Richards. I'm a makeup artist first and formerly, well, also, of course, before anything else, I'm a mother of two children. And I've been a makeup artist for 25 years. I work in movies. But I've done pretty much everything through my career. I wanted to go into special effects. And when I left makeup school back in 91, after I'd done art school and makeup school, there was no work in special effects because the film industry was in recession in England. And so I joined a model agency in the north of England as their makeup artist. And I ended up doing 10 years of editorial, advertising, runway, all sorts of things, hair and makeup. Back then, I always did fashion, hair, and makeup, and then and even styling actually for some of those real cheapskates that didn't have the budget to pay a stylist. But that was back in the 90s, you know, and that's what you did. A lot of people did what I did. So then I got a break. I did my first feature film as a department head in 1998. I was 28 years old. And I'd always wanted to go into film because I'm a second generation makeup artist. My father was a film makeup artist, and I'd grown up smelling makeup. I knew the smell of makeup before what makeup was, quite frankly. You know, by the time I was six, I think I wanted to be a makeup artist, actually. So I finally got my break at 28, and it was to do a movie called Everybody Loves Sunshine with David Bowie and Goldie, who was a drum and bass guy, producer, musician, and one of the most well-known guys in that sort of genre of music. And they did this gangster movie, and I'd been working with Goldie, and he said, right, Bird, you want to do movies. Why don't you come and do our stuff? Because you do all that beaten up stuff. So why don't you just do this movie? And I was like, well, I've never department headed a movie before. He said, yeah, but you're really bossy and really great. So why don't you just do it? So I met with the producers, and I kind of got the job before I'd even, you know, gone to meet with them. It was very lucky. You know, when someone wants you to do it and they're the lead character in a film, it sort of helps. So I definitely got very, very lucky, and I felt very privileged. And I learned on the job. You know, I'd never broken down a film script before. I'd never done continuity before. I'd never hired a crew before. And on my very first job, pretty much I, you know, was doing all of it and learning as I go. And it's funny because I saw a poster that Richard Branson posted recently, and it said, you know, if you don't think you can do it, don't tell them. Just find out how you can do it as you do it. You know, just do it, though. And that's always been my MO. So that was back in 98. And since then, I've never really looked back. I've worked in commercials. I've done personal. Done a myriad of films. I do everything in film. I do beauty makeup, period makeup, character makeup. I do prosthetics, full prosthetics, stick down, silicone appliances, wounds, you name it. And it's sort of been a dream come true. I you know, I love what I do. I absolutely love what I do. And I think that when people feel that, it gives them confidence and excitement in you. So, you know, and I try and stay humble, and I try and have a laugh because, you know, life's too short not to laugh. And I've definitely traveled everywhere as a result of makeup. I mean, you know, last time I had to get a new passport book at the UK passport office. They said, no, you need a bigger book. You need more pages because my book was stamped full. It was like, wow, this is a real great keepsake for the last 10 years, you know. And here I am in LA. And the irony, of course, is I came to LA for movies because this is where the movie industry is. And now I've been here nearly 10 years and all the movies have left LA and they're either in London or in England or in Europe or in the rest of the world. But, you know.
Or here in Atlanta.
Or in Atlanta, absolutely. In fact, one of my friends is shooting in Atlanta. He's an actor. And he's doing The Walking Dead. He's 3 years in Atlanta on this project, you know.
Wow.
It just goes to show that everything sort of left Los Angeles. But, you know, the thing with my job is that it was never going to be an office job. It was always going to take me away and travel. So
right.
It's done just that.
Well, let me ask you, kind of two questions. One, what are the big differences with the film industry, with beauty industry, with makeup in Britain versus the U.S.?
Mm-hmm.
And then talk a little bit about, if you remember a lot about it, the times when your father was doing makeup versus when you started, how things have changed.
Well, first of all, the differences. You know, England comes from a very old history of craft, and makeup in Europe, let's say Europe, because it's very similar. It started in circus, okay? The first performers came from circus and from theater, and, you know, going back to Shakespeare, going back to Greek tragedies, that's where makeup really started. Then, of course, you've got China and Japan, these ancient civilizations that had performance and performance art. And that's where you saw theatrical makeup done. Now, obviously, makeup goes way, way back to ancient Egypt, and those are some of the first known sorts of makeups that were ever made. But in terms of theatrical makeup, really, you know, it comes from theater. So, you know, England has got a very old history. And so, you know, we have, I definitely see there is different approaches to the way the Brits and the Americans do their work. I find that the English way is a little bit freer and a little bit looser, and the American way is a little more polished and a little more finished. I think that hair-wise, you know, because, of course, we have this tremendous tradition of wig making, going back again, Charles I, Queen Elizabeth I, all of those beautiful wigs that were made from wool and hand-sewn and hand-knotted and dried on wooden doweling to give you those absolutely elaborate. And then, you know, you've got things like, you know, Louis XVI and the Marie Antoinette wigs. All of those were absolute sculptures and works of art. And so what I find the difference is, because America is such a young country comparatively to the rest of the world, is that what it comes from with us is a history of craftsmanship. Now, where the Americans are absolutely marvelous and have been marvelous is that they've taken that and they've turned it into an industry that is professional. And they make some of the most exquisite work that I've seen in terms of character work and makeup effects work. I love when you get a combination of English and American crew. I find that that is one of the most beautiful synergies creatively, because the Americans really appreciate the history that we have in Europe and in Great Britain, and the Brits really love the fact that the Americans come along and they go, yeah, but try it like this and try it like that, and it's a really nice amalgamation of craft. So, you know, I think that I personally improved as a makeup artist and a department head when I moved to the States, because you guys deal with it as a business. And in England, it has always been a vocation. They relied on the fact that you absolutely loved it, and you'd work your rear end off for very little money. But in the States, it was like, no, this is my job. Yes, I love it, but you've got to pay me because I do a really, really good job, and I make you loads of money in the process and blah, blah, blah. So there was a very, very different approach to that. Now, with regard to the difference between what my father did and what I did, well, you know, Dada passed away when I was 12, but I do know my history, and I do know, you know, what was going on. And my father's generation were the innovators. They were the generation that had to make makeup from nothing for film. It's the Dick Smith generation of special effects. It's all the old school. The Berman, you know, family over here, the Westmore family over here, Stuart Freeborn in England, who, of course, everyone knows his work in Star Wars, Yoda, Chewbacca, all of that sort of stuff. That generation of makeup artists had to do it from scratch. They were literally making makeup. And with brands like Kryolan, which had an old history in theater, and Leichner, that had a whole old history, all these German makeup companies, the old Max Factor brand, you know, all of this was absolutely part of that big picture. And what happened was there was the theatrical side of it that they were trying to break out of and cross all these boundaries and make innovative stuff. And some of the most amazing stuff was done. When you look at the character work and the wig work, and some of it was utterly atrocious, but it was hilarious in its well, just the final finish, because it still was very theatrical. It wasn't as refined. Well, it couldn't be, you know, because they were still learning and learning on the job. And I remember when I was a kid, when I was at makeup school, I did my dissertation on the evolution of makeup, and I used the Star Wars trilogy to illustrate, the original Star Wars trilogy. So that's episode 4, 5, and 6, I think. You know, Star Wars A New Hope and blah, Empire Strikes Back and all of that lot. So I used that to illustrate it, because they were made so far apart that it was a perfect way to show how makeup had evolved since the first one. And I did an interview with Stuart Freeborn, and he had me in his house, and his back garden was full of his laboratories. He'd built about 7 enormous sheds in his back garden. One was just for making teeth and eyes. One was for furring, one was for sculpting, one was for molding. His life cast wall, I mean, Marlon Brando, Hitchcock, you name every iconic movie, Gregory Peck from The Omen that he'd done, all of these amazing faces on his wall. And Stuart was telling me how he never went anywhere without doing something with his hands. Even if he was sitting on a train, he was just doing something and staring at people and trying to figure out, well, how could I make that? How could I do that? I mean, you know, some of the first aging makeups were done with latex and tissue. And the irony there is that today I get a tweet from a mother in England saying to me, my 15-year-old daughter did this with tissue and makeup. What do you think? And it was a special effect thing. I said, send her to art school and go and get her to go and see Neil Gorton in London. He does an amazing special effects course. Get her to do art. They're still trying that technique today, and there are still techniques that were used back in the day that were so successful that you can still rely on now. You know, if
Sean,
it's good and it ain't broke.
It's so true. It's so funny that you mentioned that aging with latex tissue, because I just mentioned that to my sister on yesterday. Excuse me, and I told her, I said, I remember when I aged this older guy to be, you know, even older. I said, I remember when I did that with latex and tissue, and I was, you know, just basically describing the process of, you know, I had a blow dryer and
yep.
all this stuff, and, you know, and I'm, it's so funny that you mentioned that today, but the fact that that young girl, you know, created that same effect with those same products is amazing.
Yeah, well, of course, because also you've got to remember that, and I love the fact that she did it, because she was experimenting at home. I mean,
right,
it was wonderful.
Exactly.
I got this photograph on Twitter. The guy had a Mohican. She's done this thing on his head, and I was like, oh, God, bless her. Yes. This one might just make it, because she's doing
right.
this at home. She's not mm-hmm. relying on someone to come and teach her. She's
exactly.
actually doing it for herself. And that is the thing that, you know, because I do an awful lot of teaching. Wherever I go, they always want me to teach. And I'm happy to teach. I love sharing my knowledge. But there is nothing like trial and error to find things out for yourself. Most of my most successful makeups have been because I've developed my own way of doing it. And it makes your work different, and it makes it, you know, special. But tissue and latex, I mean, I did a series a few years ago in England, and it was a forensic series, much like CSI. And I remember we had this one episode where, you know, this hotel gets bombed and there's a huge fireball that goes through it, and we had to make this burnt skeleton or this corpse that was just burnt to the bone. And, you know, we got a skeleton, and guess what? Tissue and latex all the way to get texture and layer upon layer. In that workshop, we made it. Things like that will never fail. And if you've got not much of a budget and you know how to do it, then you can do, because otherwise it's all paintwork. So if you do a good basic and then you've got your artistry down and you can do a nice bit of paint job on it, that's it. You've sold it, you know. By the time they light it, by the time you've dressed it on set, you're good to go.
Exactly. And when you think about it, like when my sister and I started to make them, probably when you started as well, the trial and error way was really the only way. You know, maybe you had a book, maybe you had a video or something, but if you didn't go to a school, that was really the only way. You know, you had to, you know, try to figure it out or kind of repeat what somebody else did by looking at a book or something like that. Nowadays, there's so many resources that there's almost really no need to ask a question, because there are so many resources on how to do everything.
There are resources, definitely. I mean, one thing I would say about the learning process is that if there's nothing like someone being there present with you if you need that guidance. But
right.
you know, but also, I mean, some of the courses that I've seen students come out of. I mean, recently, for example, I was in London in April at a makeup show there called the United Makeup Artist Expo, and I love it because it's a real industry show, and, you know, it's its second year, and it's got a lot of great talent there, and they're all people that work in film. They're all pros that go there. They're not bloggers. I'm sorry to any bloggers out there. I apologize. Mm-hmm. You do a great job, but, you know, you do your own face. You don't do actors and people like that. It's great to do a 20-year-old mm-hmm. face, but we do everybody. So it was people like us, you know, we go and we do everybody. And one of the things I wanted to do was to redesign the competition, the student competition, because I just am so overseeing all this fantasy work that you never see in a movie. Rarely do you see it. So I set a theme this year was the Napoleonic Wars, and what we did was we designed the whole competition to be given like you would be given a brief on a movie. And, you know, you have a timeline, here's your setup time, this is your makeup time, this is your hair time. You know, at the end, no questions are asked, there's the brief. We gave them a historical breakdown to tell them what was going on. And it was funny, I was judging that competition with Corey Castellano, who is Robert Redford's personal and amazing makeup artist, multitude of pirate movies. He's an incredible artist, above and beyond, and one of the nicest guys. And then, of course, Kenny Myers, who's like a big teddy bear. He's, you know, Harrison Ford, he's done a ton of stuff with him. Kenny, you know, old Emmy winning from Star Trek. I mean, he's the one that did Skin Illustrator with PPI, with Premiere Products. And, you know, we were judging this, and we were looking at some of the work, and Kenny said, geez, he said, you know, he said, I want to see who the teachers are with some of these kids because I want to take them aside and say, what exactly are you teaching them? So, you know, there are some great teachers out there and there are some not so great teachers out there. And, you know, when you're going to learn, you've got to be able to see what is good and what isn't good. And the only way you can do that is by looking at movies or looking at magazines or looking at any sort of visual input that you can get, because you know that's what you've got to aim for. So, you know, mm-hmm. as you quite rightly so said, there is a lot of stuff out there, but you do also sometimes need that person just saying, try it like this. Just you know, try it like that. Try it like this. I mean, the teachers at the Cinema Makeup School in L.A. are phenomenal. Joe Harlow, Mike Spatola. I mean, these are boys at their A game. You know, mm-hmm. when they're not on a movie, they're teaching. Those are the sorts of people you want to be your guides.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What other makeup artists out there inspire you?
God, okay. Well, you know, what I do say is whilst I love the work, I never use another makeup artist's work as my source material. That is mm-hmm. something, someone's asked me that once before. People whose work I love, Lois Burwell, I absolutely adore her work. She won Academy Award for Braveheart way back when. Mm-hmm. Last movie that you would have seen her work was Lincoln, and she did that beautiful aging makeup with Kenny Myers, actually, on, what's his name? Oh, my God, who is it? Daniel Day-Lewis's makeup. Such a delicate, layered makeup, you know, exquisite. So Lois, I absolutely adore. I love Bill Corso's work. I think he is an exquisite artist. Lemony Snicket and more. Vally O'Reilly, you'd have seen her work in Alice in Wonderland, you know, the Queen of Hearts makeup, all of those beautiful, Vally's a marvelous artist. I love Donald Moat. Donald is Daniel Craig's personal currently, but he is an amazing department head. You'd have seen his work on The Fighter amongst many, many other movies. He does very subtle work that's absolutely beautiful.
Where is Donald from?
Donald's Canadian.
I think I met him on the set of, I may be wrong. I thought I met him on the set of Fast 7. I'm not sure. Fast and Furious 7, maybe not.
Not sure.
I'm thinking of some.
Who else? Mark Coulier, absolutely adore Mark. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are all people that I know as well. I'm very lucky, you know, mm-hmm. but it's like I love their work. Mark Coulier, of course, won the Academy Award for Mrs. Thatcher on Meryl Streep. He did that beautiful aging makeup, and I would put money on it that he will be nominated for the Grand Budapest Hotel with Frances Hannon because they did a most exquisite aging makeup on Tilda Swinton that is just to die for. It is divine. Grand Budapest Hotel. It's been out already in the States. It's a Wes Anderson movie.
Okay.
Brilliant film. Beautiful character work, but that aging on Tilda, they took her to 84 years old, and she looks marvelous. And that with the wig as well. I mean, it's just fantastic. Who else do I like? I mean, you know, there's all sorts of people. It's difficult. I mean, in terms of beauty, love Val Garland, huge Val Garland admirer. I think she's marvelous. I really love, you know, people like, well, you know, some of the Brits are bloody brilliant. You know, Sharon Dowsett, she's just so down to earth, and she's just, you know, so good. Pat McGrath, time and again, never lets you down, you know. There's a whole bunch of them. And, you know, I just try and look and see what's out there. But Val, I think, for me, because she's so diverse and so creative, I think Val is my number one editorial makeup artist of all time. I think she's phenomenal.
Okay. Speaking of all these great makeup artists, what do you think makes a great makeup artist?
Good question. I think it's 60% artistry and 40% personality. I think you have to really love it. You have to really love it, and you have to really love it so much that anyone whose face you touch, they can feel that. They know that you care and that you really will knock the ball out of the park for them, whether it's a director, an actor, or whatever the situation, if you're personal or department head or you're doing a fashion shoot. Innovation, you know, that's why I say I don't copy people. I don't want my work to look like anyone else's. I want it to look like mine.
Right.
You know, I take my influence. Someone asked me, where do you get your influence from? I say architecture, art, nature, I've got numerous groups on Facebook that are inspirational groups. Pinterest, I put art out there, street art, graphic novels. Those are my inspirations and have always been. And I put things into my makeups that I've seen maybe in a painting. Maybe it's a style of how they use the brush and the brush stroke that you saw. And I think that of all of the people, I mean, you know, when I speak about Val Garland, she's definitely an innovator. All of the people I said in film, they're all innovators. They're all different. Mm-hmm. They are not sheep. They follow their own path. They follow their own style. They, you know, they're different, and they're all bonkers. Each and every one of them is bonkers. That's the thing as well. I think all of those makeup artists, they have a slightly eccentric personality, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's individualism, and I think that is also important for a makeup artist to have, and also humility and you know, being thankful for the opportunity that you've been given. You know, I say this a lot when I'm on the road talking, is that we get paid to do something we love. We don't compromise. We haven't got to sit in an office for 50 hours a day or sweep the streets or whatever it is. You know, there are some people that just go and do a job just to put food on the table, and we're lucky. You know, we get paid for doing something we love, and I think that we need to remind ourselves of that. And yes, we need to get paid appropriately, because of course we do bring so much more to the table, but still, there's nothing like a little bit of humility to just bring you grounded and back down to earth. And I think that's one of the most important things. And every one of those makeup artists that I just mentioned that I know are all humble. Each and every one of them.
Nice. That's good to know, because there are a lot of them out there that are not. And like you said, we have to remind ourselves sometimes that, you know, we're lucky, we should be thankful, and we should definitely be humble.
Yes, and never settle for anything less. You know, you've always got to give your best. You need to give more than they ask of you, almost, because that's what makes you special, and it's that dedication. It just shows them that you won't compromise, and it's very, very important.
So what kind of advice would you give to a new makeup artist who, you know, they know that they want to be a makeup artist, but they really don't know which direction to go? If they don't know if they want to do editorial work, if they want to, you know, do fashion shows, or if they want to do some television, what advice would you just give to someone new about business?
Well, the first thing I tell every young makeup artist is go to art school. It's not about beauty school, kids. You've got to learn your art. You need to learn how to draw, how to hold a brush. You need to learn how to paint. You need to learn color theory. You need to go to art school. If you can't do art school, go to art classes. You know, there's always ways around it. But please, the best makeup artists I know all come from an art background, and it is vital. You know, the ones that just do beauty, they just know how to stamp it out as a cosmetologist does. And, yes, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you want to be different, if you want to do something special, you need that art background every single time. It saves me on a daily basis. Trust me, it really does. Mm. The other thing that I would say is, you know, I used to spend a fortune on magazines. I used to buy Elle. I would buy Vogue. I would buy Harper's Bazaar. I would look at graphic novels. I would go to art galleries, art exhibitions. And, I mean, in England, we're particularly lucky because we don't have to pay for them. I love that about Great Britain. You know, we have this beautiful historical stuff, and it's all available to us. But you just got to see it. And if you don't go to exhibitions, then look at it online. But just get that into your brain. Feed your brain, and then that's going to help. The other thing that I say to every young makeup artist is, do not expect that you're going to finish makeup school and that you're going to walk into a job, because you're not. It's not realistic to expect it. You're not going to make millions. I worked for my first 5 years of my career, I pretty much worked for zero, and I had two other jobs so that I could do makeup jobs for nothing. I was testing with photographers. I was doing theater productions for nothing. You know, I was doing theater productions even when I was in makeup school. In fact, when I was in makeup school, I would do when I was at art school, I would do hairdressing night school so I could learn to cut, color, and do roller sets. And then I would go and do extra art classes, and then I'd work in theater doing theater productions. So that was whilst I was in a full-time art course. And then when I went to makeup school, they did everything else. But when I was at makeup school at London College of Fashion, we used to collaborate with people like the students of Central St. Martin's School of Art and Design. Now, it had an amazing fashion department. People like John Galliano came out of there. Stella McCartney came out of there. A whole generation of brilliant designers. So, you know, cross-pollinate. Find young designers. Find young photographers. Test with them. Practice with them, so that you can always up your skill level, and then you get some idea of what it's like to do shoots as well. But if you really think that all you have to go and do is a 30-hour makeup course and you can come out and call yourself a makeup artist, my friends, that is not reality. It is not reality. It takes time. It really does take time. And the ones that will have the career that they want to have are the ones that understand that and that are happy to put that time in. Anything that's worth something is worth doing well. I truly believe it. And anything good does not happen overnight. You know, I mean, some of my friends, I've known one of my dear friends who's in Australia who is a phenomenal makeup artist, Colin Ware. Colin did, you know, the first Star Wars that went to Oz. You know, Colin was sculpting from 6 years old. He's got these little plasticine maquettes. So people practice all the time. So please just put as much of yourself into it. If you go heart and soul, feet first, those are the ones we want to see coming out the back end. Those are the ones we'll give the jobs to. Those are the ones we'll do the work experience with, because we can see the glint in your eye that shows us you love it and you want it.
Absolutely. Now, what inspired the London Blush Company? Where did that all come in?
Oh, well, that's easy. So what inspired London Blush Company? I came to the States in 2005 in the October, and mm-hmm. I did my first film as a department head in early 2006. And I went into Friends Beauty Supply, and Nigel was working there at the time. He's now got, of course, Nigel's Beauty Emporium, but Nigel Dare. And I was looking around Friends for makeup brushes, and they were awful. I mean, I saw a few of V-Neils were really nice, but there weren't very many there because they'd sold out. There was another brand that I liked, but otherwise, there was a really poor collection. And I said to Nigel, I was like, Nigel, what the hell is going on? You know, why are there so many bad makeup brushes here? You know, you've got some of the top makeup artists in the world in the States. What are they using? And he said, Sean, every time V-Neil or Bill Corso or any of those lot get a movie in England, they stock up on brushes because nobody makes makeup brushes like Europeans and like the Brits. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, really? He said, absolutely. And I said, well, what do you reckon about starting a brush company then? And I just said it, you know, as a throwaway comment. He said, if you do that, it'll be a really good idea. He said, because nobody here makes them the way they do over there. And he said, I think you do really well. So that was my starting point. And then what I did was, you know, I went off and did that movie and, you know, went and found a brush maker about a year later. And, you know, my mother had passed away in 2005, and she'd always been my rock and my support. And I put some of the money that she'd left me, I thought, you know, a great way to celebrate Mama is to try and make something really beautiful out of what she gave me, because she always gave me unconditional love and support, and she was so phenomenal. So I put, you know, some of my inheritance from Mama, and I went, and I started off with 11 sable brushes. And, you know, before I started, I mean, I looked at every department store. I looked at all of the makeup brands that have got brushes, and they're all lousy. They're synthetic, cheap, made in China. They charge a fortune for them, but you're getting these synthetics. And it's like I found that I could make the same quality using real hair, which gives a much better finish and which will last you a lifetime, and still do it. So that's basically what I did. I did 11 brushes. I launched them at IMATS in LA in 2000 and when did I have Allegra? 2010. In the June of 2010, I launched 11 makeup brushes. I sold out. I had about 20 of every brush. It wasn't many. But I sold out, and all of the pros were coming, and they've been coming ever since. You know, all the makeup shows, they're like, we really love your brushes. So I started with 11. The next year, I decided to do soft blending brushes, so I use Pine Squirrel and Blue Squirrel, and it's all premium-grade hair. You know, I don't mix hair and mix a cheaper hair in there. It's all 100% premium-grade. And then, you know, I had 21 classic brushes, which are the real hair, and then about a year or so later, I launched a vegan collection. I think it was early last year, I launched the Nouveau collection, which is vegan. And, you know, all the brushes are made in the States or in England, and people like that, and they can feel the difference, you know. So, yeah, it's been a really nice thing. Brush shampoo is probably the biggest thing that I ever created. And, you know, I was tired of cleaning those brushes with chemicals, so I decided I was going to do that, and that launched in 2011, I think, at the Makeup Show New York. And, you know, it's just, you know what it's like, girls, you use it all the time. But, you know, I launched that in 2011, and I sold out, I bought 60 of them to the Makeup Show New York. Well, unbeknownst to me, people were like, we want this. I came away with an order of 250. It takes 4 weeks to make these soaps. I mean, wow. I've been such a newbie learning on the go.
Right.
And so, you know, it's definitely, it's growing. It takes a lot of my time, and I love it. And I just, you know, I really want to, you know, my thing is also, guys, you know, I think I've said this to you before. I think that when someone spends a dollar with me, that dollar represents so much more. It's like time spent away from people they love, or maybe they're tired but they've gone and worked their rear end off to get that money, and they choose to spend it with London Brush. And I want to make sure that every dollar that they spend, I give them more than a dollar's worth back, because, you know, I'm old school. I'm really old school in the way I'm running this business. I try and stay on it as much as I can, and I really care about the people that come to the brand, because, you know, that's how it was done back in the day. And the brushes that my father had, I started my makeup career with, and some of those brushes were over 25 years old, and they were still in perfect condition. Dad had these beautiful old Dior brushes and Max Factor brushes, and they've been some of my inspiration for the shapes. You know?
Okay.
So I wanted to bring that time back into London Brush.
Nice. Now, you've had some you've had some great things happen in London with your London Brush Company with Liberty London. So tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, my God. I mean, that is a dream come true. So I don't know if anyone knows Liberty who's listening, but Liberty is the oldest department store in London. It goes back hundreds of years. It's like Bergdorf Goodman, really. It's a one-off store. It is known for being ahead of itself in terms of its buyers. They set up cult trends, and people tend to follow Liberty. And what happened was one day I get this tweet from a lady called Sarah Coonan, and she said, "We would really love to try your brush shampoo at Liberty. We have been made aware of it, and we've read up on you, and we love what you're about. How do you feel about doing brush shampoo?" And I was on a commercial in the Valley that day. Well, I had to leave set. Picture this, right? I'm looking at my iPhone, and my eyes must have been like saucers. You know when you see children opening their favorite Christmas present, and it's the dream present? And I was reading, and my eyes were growing wider and wider, and I had to run out of the set that I was on, which was someone's house, and I am jumping up and down on the sidewalk like a child. I'm like, "Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, I can't believe this, I can't believe it." And I had tears running down my face. And, you know, I called my business manager, and I said, "Look, blah, 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 Liberty, blah, blah, blah." And anyway, so we set up a meeting, and I went to London, and they only knew about brush shampoo because of the social media on it. And I presented my entire collection of brushes and, you know, also maybe the color line that I was planning on doing, and still am. And they said to me, "Oh, my God, we had no idea that you did this." And I went, "Yeah, the brushes actually came first." And I told them why and how, pretty much like I'm telling you. And the buyers went, "We want it all. We absolutely want it all." Now, that it took time because, nothing happens overnight.
Right.
And a few weeks ago, a couple of months ago, I get this email, and they said, "Right, we're ready." I mean, we've been in constant touch. The women there are phenomenal. I'm very fond of them, and we have become friends subsequently. And they said, "Right, Sean, look, we're doing this thing. It's called Liberty Beauty Must-Haves. We want you as part of it because your brand is cult. It really is. And what do you want us? What are your best sellers? We want about 10 or 11 from each collection. Of course, we want every brush shampoo that you do. And, you know, this is just the start." And that's literally what happened. I mean, they told me about it, and then I had to send everything out a few days later, and then I get an email going, "Well, can you come and do staff training?" And I went, "When do you want me?" They're like, "May 28th or whatever it was. No, not April 28th. There you go, April 28th. I mean, I'd been in London April 6th to go and do a makeup show. Then I had gone to New York to do New York IMATS the next weekend. Then I come home, and I'm literally going off to go and do Liberty on that April 28th. So I flew to London on the Saturday, and I'm in Liberty on Monday morning on the 28th of April. The whole beauty department turned up. I was so touched. Even people that had nothing to do with the beauty must-haves came to learn because they'd heard about it. And I'm sitting there, and they're looking at me, and I'm going, "I cannot believe." I said, "I am so honored that you guys all turned up." They're like, "You got to be joking. You've flown halfway across the world to come and teach us. We want to hear what you got to say."
Right.
And so it was like, well, yes, but still, you know, come on. So anyway, you know, did all of that. They launched them on May the 1st. They've already placed a reorder because it's selling so well. And of course, what is so perfect, and this is what I failed to say, when I met the ladies, you know, that first meeting, I said to them, "I've got to tell you that this is very deep in my heart, and I am very emotional right now because Liberty is my inspiration." I said, "I have loved this store since I was about 12 years old, and I am 45 this year. I said, I love for everything that Liberty stands for, the Liberty prints, which are iconic, the history of Liberty, the integrity of Liberty, everything about Liberty, the bespoke quality of Liberty, that is what I based my inspiration from for London Brush, because I admire it so much. They went, you've got to be joking. I said, yes, and you are my first retail store that isn't trade, that isn't a makeup industry-related store. They went, really? I went, yes. I said, so this wow. is like, this is a dream come true for me. And so that's why it's been so just brilliant. I mean, like, every time I think about it, I swear, a shiver goes down my back, and I cannot believe how lucky I am.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, it's pretty cool, guys. It's pretty
that,
cool.
That's an
yeah.
amazing story.
Yeah, it's
amazing.
Awesome, isn't it? And I mean, and to actually think that they call London Brush Company a cult brand. And I never thought this. When I started London Brush, it was just to make new makeup brushes. Do you know what I mean? And
right,
it's like,
right.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it.
Wow. That's awesome.
Thank
it really
you.
Is.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm so honored. I mean, I really am. I think you can hear it in my voice. I really,
yes.
you know, I'm not one of those, but I take nothing for granted. I've worked for everything my entire life. I'm a single mum. You know, both my parents passed away. I've lost a lot of family. I've lost a brother and a sister. I've really had one of those lives that's been through a lot. And, mm-hmm. you know, I do all of this whilst I run my career and I mother my kids and I've got a 17-year-old and a 5-year-old. And it gets very overwhelming, but every so often a jewel pops its head up, and my jewel is Liberty.
Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, I want Barney's now. I want Barney's and Bergdorf. I'd love to be in Barney's because I love Barney's. I think it's an amazing store.
It's
it will come. Everything will come when it's meant to. That is the fact of life.
Right. Right. You do know that you have amazing brushes.
Thank you, guys. And, I mean, you know, when Liberty came to me, I looked up at the heavens that night. I was sitting outside in my garden, and I looked up to the heavens, and I looked up and I spoke to my mother, and I spoke to all of the people, my brother, my sister, my father. I spoke to the big man up there, and I was like, thank you so much. Thank you so much. So much for this. I can't believe it. Thank you so much.
Wow.
Wow.
I believe it. I receive it all.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully.
Absolutely.
Ay, ay, ay.
Well, we're not, I could talk on all night, but we know you're tired. And we're not going to hold you. So I just want to, our very last question is simply, what is beauty to you?
What was that last question?
What is beauty to you?
Beauty is your soul. It's what shines through your eyes. It's how you hold yourself. It's how you treat other people. Beauty is that inner sparkle, that special thing. And beauty is not in your face. Beauty, it is a soul-driven thing. I have seen some of the most beautiful women in the world with not a stitch of makeup on their face. And that's real beauty. It's what you shine with and what you give out, and it's your energy. It's an energy-based thing. It's nothing cosmetic.
Absolutely not.
I promise you.
Absolutely.
Nothing cosmetic. My 98-year-old grandmother, God bless her, at my cousin's wedding in Malta in 2003, 98 years old, dancing with a scotch in one hand, with her walker, with her walker at 3 a.m., all dressed in black, with her chandelier black earrings, not a stitch of makeup on, and all the young kids around her. She was radiant that night. That's beauty.
Oh, man.
Nice.
Awesome.
I can just imagine.
Yeah.
I can picture that right now. You know she was the center of attention.
Oh, my God. Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Nana Jane, God bless you.
Scotch in one hand.
Scotch. She was a scotch drinker. No ice. It would water it down.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow.
No,
I know. Yeah, imagine growing up with that.
Exactly. Well, Sean, you want to just shout out your website so where people can go and find the brushes and your social media site?
Yeah, sure. Okay, so it's londonbrushcompany.com. I mean, if you Google London Brush, you will find us so easy. So it's londonbrushcompany.com. Now, if you're looking for makeup inspiration, then on Facebook I've got a couple of groups, and one is called For the Love of Makeup Artistry, and that is a much, very much an inspirational group. We post all sorts of pictures on there. Like I said, architecture, out there, beauty makeups, just stuff that happens in life. So that's For the Love of Makeup Artistry. I've got another one, which is a movie-based one, and it's called Hair and Makeup That Should Have Won an Award But Didn't.
Yes.
And it is yes. growing. I get 50 a day. It's awesome,
yes.
isn't it? So yes. Hair and makeup, makeup and hair that should have won an award but didn't. On okay. Twitter, it's London Brush Co. Easy to find, London Brush Co. Same with Instagram. And, of course, you can find me on Facebook, Sean Richards, makeup artist and founder of London Brush Company.
All right.
And that's about it, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
So when am I
going to
see
so
you
much.
Girls next? When's your next show that you're coming to?
We will be at Fame Expo in June. Are you going to be
okay.
in...
I'm at in London. I'm doing
London.
A demo for Kryland.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm doing a demo for Kryland. I'll be at the makeup show Chicago. Yeah, if anyone's in Chicago, come and see me at the makeup show Chicago. I'll be there. And then,
okay.
of course, I'll definitely be at the makeup show Dallas and Orlando. Those are two
okay,
more things
yeah.
I'm going to do this year.
We may catch you at one of those.
Yeah, cool. I love those people. They are awesome people that run that show.
Yeah, we may catch you at one of those.
All right, my darlings.
All right, well,
all right.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you for taking the time to share your story.
No, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me. I hope that it's been enjoyable and you know, people, one thing that people can always do is if they ever need advice via that Facebook page of Sean Richards Makeup Artist, you can always ask me questions. I always keep an open forum. Wherever I teach, I give that page. Follow me on that page. Ask me makeup questions or career advice questions. I'm very happy to help. I might not get back to you instantly, but I always make an effort to answer each and every person that writes to me.
Great.
That's
cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we will continue to give those pages out for you, too.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you so, so much. Have a good night.
All right. Denise, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Take care, girls.
Okay.
All right.
You too.
Bye-bye. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So thank you guys for listening, but don't leave yet. We have our beauty news. And Denise will have some beauty news.
I just love Sean. She's great.
Oh, she's wonderful. Absolutely.
Yeah, she really is. I'll never forget when she first reached out to me on Facebook some years ago about her brushes, and that she started this line and she wanted me to try some of her brushes. So that was really nice of her. I mean, I guess she practically gave me or gave us both like almost a whole set of brushes.
Mhm. And they're wonderful yes. brushes.
Wonderful. Some of the best I think I've ever used.
Absolutely. I have to get her vegan collection now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But just a reminder that you all can follow this show, Beauty Talk, on Facebook at Beauty Talk Online Radio page. You can follow us on Twitter at @beauty_talk. And you can follow us on Instagram at @beauty_talk_media. And join the Powder Group for a first-ever hairstyling program called The Styling Sessions. It's 5 days, 5 hairstyling icons. For more information on that, you can check out the Powder Group's website. It's thepowdergroup.com. Again, it's thepowdergroup.com. And again, you can check out Sean Richards' Facebook group pages for the Love of Makeup Artistry, as well as Makeup and Hair That Should Have Won an Award But Didn't. Again, that's Makeup and Hair That Should Have Won an Award But Didn't. And lastly, I just wanted to just kind of run over the Fame Expo, the Famous Nails nail art competition. Janice, do you have any information for that, any specifics that you want to talk about for the Fame Expo?
Well, one of the specifics I really wanted to mention was I've been getting some questions about this. For those nail artists who enter the competition, once you pay for the competition, you do not have to pay for the and then turn around and pay to get into Fame Expo. Once you enter that competition, you will get a pass for yourself and for your model to enter Fame, you know, to enter the Expo, go in and out as often as you need to or often as you want. So you don't have to worry about paying for Fame Expo and paying to enter the competition. You just enter the competition and your Expo fee will be taken care of.
Cool. Cool.
So that's the key point.
Do you have any information on, I know the last couple of weeks we've talked about some details of the specific divisions of the competition, like the different categories. Did you have any specifics that you wanted to speak about tonight?
Yes. Hold on one second here. But just also I wanted people to know that you can go to FameExpo.com for information on how to enter the nail competition, the Famous Nail competition.
Mm-hmm.
And again, all entries.
No, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. All entries must be received by Friday, June 20th. And again, the division rules are there's three divisions. First-timers who have never competed is Division 1. Division 2 would be those who have competed but never placed first, second, or third in a competition. That's any competition, any nail competition. And then Division 3 is for those who have competed and have placed first, second, or third. Trophies will be awarded to first, second, and third places for all three divisions, for all three divisions in each competition. Teams are also welcomed to join the competition. And to have a team, it must be a minimum of three people and a maximum of six. There is no fee for the team. And for your individual nail artist, if you want to enter one competition, that's $50. And if you want to enter all four competitions, it's a total of $150. Okay, and again, teams are free of charge. And again, once you pay for your entry fee for the nail competition, you do not have to pay the Fame Expo entrance fee. So,
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, now I'm going to find some more detailed information because we've been talking each week about a different competition, like competition role. So as I find that, you can, what were you saying?
Oh, okay, I was just basically going to give them some information while you were looking for that. But Beauty Talk will actually be in the pro area this year. Instead of having a separate Beauty Talk booth, Beauty Talk will be one of the sponsors for the pro area this year. And I'll get a list of those other sponsors as they continue to come in, so we'll have them on a later show. But also Illusions Cosmetics, which is another brand of ours, will have two booths, booth number 424 and 426. And we are going to be located across from the pro area, so it will be easy to find in both areas, the 424, 426, and then we'll be across from Beauty Talk in the pro area. And if you're attending Fame Expo and you check out the floor plan on the website, again, we'll be across from the pro area, but we'll also be close to the photo booth, as well as Friends Beauty Supply will be next to us as well. So if you're looking for us and can't find us, that's exactly where we'll be. We'll be towards the back, across from the pro area, and near the photo booth, and close to Friends Beauty Supply.
Nice.
This year, I mean, last year was pretty exciting, but this year it's really going to be pretty exciting. Sam Fine's going to be be one of the keynote speakers this year, so that should be great. So that's on the makeup side. And then we have quite a few master classes this year, as well as some other keynote speakers for hair and things like that. And so more speakers are being confirmed and more vendors are being confirmed. But for more information, just in general on Fame Expo, what it is and who you can see and, you know, the types of classes that you can take and, the master classes that you can take as well, you can visit the Fame Expo website, which is PHAMEXPO.com. Fame Expo, Fame spelled PHAME.
And then I just wanted to share, this week I'm going to speak about the Flat Art Tip Box. That's one of the competitions, and this is an hour-and-a-half competition. And some of the things that's important for people to remember is that the artwork is done at the time of the competition on nail tips. So you have to use nail tips, and the artwork has to be done at the time of the competition, not beforehand. The nails will be placed, will be done on, the designs will be done on nail tips and placed on a blackboard, to present for judging. The blackboard should not be any larger than 10 inches in either direction. All entries are to be 100% completed at the time of the competition. Again, nothing before the competition. Five tips are to be created and must reflect different nail sizes as real nails do. So it has to look pretty normal, like someone's actual hand. Anyone using all one size tips will have an automatic 5-point deduction to their final score. Okay, the tips may be any length. The tips may be connected together or displayed separately. All entries must be left at the competition until after the close of the competition and award. Entries left after the close of the competition will be returned. It is the competitor's responsibility to pick up their work at a designated time and place. So, you know, one thing I will say before I continue is there are some particular rules, and for those of you who are out there who are interested in this competition, it would be to your best interest to go to that Fame Expo website, look up the nail competition information, and read everything over thoroughly so that you'll know what you need to bring, how you need to prepare, and you can kind of strategize and say what you need to do to place in this competition. So, again, you really need to pay close attention. But continuing, competitors may use any of these five nail art media: airbrushing, gel, hand painting, which is micro art, and no nail art embellishments such as rhinestones, pearls, foils, crushed shells, or anything like that can be used. Okay. The art media must be used in an artistic way and must be applied completely flat. No decals or pre-made art are allowed in the flat art nail art competition. Competitors may only submit their own work. All entries may be questioned, and the competitor asked to recreate a portion of the work submitted as proof. So it has to be your own work because you may be asked to duplicate it right there. Oh, the nail art applied to the tip must be completely flat. I may have said that already. The competitor can choose any theme. And you are not allowed to get products out of your case or have product brought in from outside of the competition arena once the competition begins.
Wow.
So those are
a lot specific. It's like you have to really go on that site and really take your time and read them so that if you have questions, you can go ahead and get your questions answered now so that you can make your decision to if you want to, compete or not. And, I mean, I know the deadline for that, I believe, is like the 22nd or something like that. But I really encourage everybody to go ahead and register as early as you possibly can.
And to all those who are listening, and please share this information with your friends and those that you know who are interested in this competition. But we will be every Sunday almost up until the actual Fame Expo. We'll be pretty much reading off some of this information to you, because like I said, we've been getting questions, so we decided to just kind of read off like something about each competition every Sunday night. But also, if you have detailed questions, you know, if you go to the website and you see something but you need more explanation, or if you hear us say something and you want more explanation, please email us at famousnails@fameexpo.com. And that's, again, that's famousnails@fameexpo.com. That's famousnails@fameexpo.
That's it for tonight. That's all I have.
All right, sounds good. So for those of you who listen to the show and you really enjoyed tonight's show, please go out on our Blog Talk Radio profile page and mark it as a favorite. You can leave us comments there, or you can leave us comments, as always, on our Facebook page, Beauty Talk Online, and put your comments and your questions or your suggestions out there. We'll definitely respond to whatever you have to say. And, again, just to remind you, we mentioned it last week, but just to remind you, we will not have a show next week, and next week's date is the 25th. The 25th. Am I correct?
It's Memorial Day.
Or 26th?
I believe that's the 25th. I think Monday's the 26th.
Okay. So, yeah, Sunday the 25th, we will not have a show because it's the Memorial Day holiday. We will be out of town, and we're not going to have a show. But you can join us again the first Sunday in June. We'll be back with another inspiring guest. So please follow us on Facebook and Twitter to hear who's going to be coming the first Sunday of June. And as always, we thank you for your continued support. And you guys have a beautiful and blessed week. Good night.
Good night, everybody.